here, and it's good to have a new brother from one of our sister churches down in Goodwaterfield Baptist down close to the line down there. Glad to have him with us, and he's camping and came over here to go to church right at camp. Amen. And amen. Glad he's here today, and appreciate him coming and being here and excited about our time together in the Word this morning. If you will, let's go ahead and stand together. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, a familiar story here this morning. I ask you to stay with me. Today has been a blessing for me, and I'm not sure. I'm sweating today. I don't know if it's anybody else hot, or is it just me? And a little hot to me, but I was hot to Sunday school too, so I don't know. But let's look at 2 Samuel chapter number 11 this morning, verse number 1. Now, I'll say this. If you read through Samuel, and 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, at this point, you remember David's been running for his life. Saul has been trying to kill David, and David's been living in mountains and jungles and running for my children. It is hard for me to get my 10-year-old son to understand that just because a shirt don't have Under Armour don't mean you can't wear it. My son, when I was a kid, I wore Over Armour. Amen. He said, "What's that, Daddy?" I said, "I don't know. We didn't have symbols. They were just shirts." Amen. And now you remember people walking around with alligators on. I didn't have an alligator shirt. Mine had a bird on it. Amen. But I wore it in pride. But hey, materialism here, the lust of the flesh, the immorality, the overeating, the indulgence of our flesh, the lust of the eyes. But here's the third one this morning that is killing the church, the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You say, Brother Joey, this morning, what is the pride of life? Here it is. It is the desire for honor, applause, and that which prevents a believer from repenting and confessing their sins publicly before God. You say, what do you mean by pride of life, Brother Joey? Here it is. You're sitting in the service last week. God spoke to you about a sin in your life, and there was a thought in your mind that said, I need to go to the altar and ask God to help me with that. But there was another thought that said, if you do that, somebody will think you're unspiritual. And you gave in to the temptation. You say, Brother Joey, this morning, Brother Elzo and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and he said, hey, you know this thing, a Christian's not going to the altar anymore. What is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's the pride of life. It is the temptation of Satan that keeps us from responding to God's wooing in our life. And all across America this morning, buildings will be packed, service will be preached, sounds will be sung, but Christians won't respond in brokenness. Why? Because of the pride of life. And you say, Brother Joey, what is that? It is a temptation of Satan on believers in our lives this morning. I'm telling you, it's easy for us to point out those living in sexual sin. It's easy for us to point out those who are skipping church to do the things of this world. But I want to ask you this morning, Christian, how long has it been since you responded to the wooing of the Holy Spirit in your life? Humbly, not caring what one person thought about your spiritual life. And Jesus said that the pride of life would be one of the temptations that would come to the church. And I'm telling you, if you're in the house of God this morning and God is dealing with you in your life, don't you allow Satan to prevent God's work in your life by yielding to that temptation. If you're still breathing, say amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, Sardis, that is the sin that is killing Christianity today. Pride. It's killing our families. I'm mad at Auntie so-and-so. Why? Because of what she said at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's coming up in November, and you ain't talked to her in a year. Why? You ready? Pride. And you say, well, I'm a go-to, but then the devil gives you 100 reasons not to. You need to stop yielding to that temptation and live in victory and go get it right with your aunt this morning. Somebody say amen. Amen. The reality is these areas of temptation are killing the church. The church is powerless. The church is weak. We have Christians who are succumbed to their flesh. We have Christians who are chasing the lust of the eyes. We have Christians who are defeated by their own pride and yielding to pride in their life. And you say, Brother Joey, this morning, how do we have victory over these temptations in our life? Well, in our text this morning, King David, he was faced with one of these temptations, the lust of his flesh. And instead of King David saying no to it and resisting it, he yielded to the temptation. And then he allowed it to form ideas in his life. And then he gave himself over to it. And before you know it, David had sinned. He had sinned against his God. And it had carried him away. And it could have been avoided in his life. And think about this. David did not yield to what God wanted him to do. And when he was tempted, it led to his sin and the mess of his sin in his life. And I want to say this morning, think about it, Christian. All of this could have been avoided if he would have done what God wanted him to do. And let me ask you this morning, in your life today, some of you today are battling your pride. You're battling unforgiveness. You're battling a drug addiction. You're battling a pornography addiction today. You're battling a gossip addiction today. Listen to me this morning. This morning, all of that can be avoided in your life if you will learn to overcome temptation in your life. Tell you, Christian, until we do, we'll be powerless. Until we learn to deal and overcome the temptation in our life, we are going to be powerless. Are you saying, Brother Joey, why is the church so ineffective this morning? I'll tell you why. Because we're yielding to temptation. It is not that we're not saved. It is not that God doesn't love us. It is not that He's not able. It's that we as Christians, we are not deep in our faith and learning to fight and not yield to temptation in our life. And you say, Brother Joey, this morning, how can we overcome temptation? Well, as we look at David, you're still with me today, say amen.
Amen.
Now buckle up. Get ready. Number one. The first way we overcome temptation, get ready for this, is to be where you're supposed to be. What do you mean, my joy? Look at verse number one. Look what the Bible says. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the year when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now watch this. It was springtime. The Israelites were planning a military mission two, here it is. Number one, we need to be where we need to be. Number two, we need to resist temptation in our lives. We need to resist temptation in our lives. What do you mean, Brother Joy? I'll tell you what I mean. Look at verse number 3 this morning, what the Bible says. Here David is, verse number 3, the Bible says this. Having David sinned and inquired after the woman, he said, she looks good. And one said, I think that's interesting, we don't know who that one was, but here's what he said. Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Won't you look at him? David went up there and he looked down and he saw Bathsheba. And he got over to his messengers. He was the king. You denied the king's request, you could lose your head. He said, listen, I want you to go get Bathsheba. Watch me. And when he said that, we don't know who it was, but one of those special servants who cared about God said, David, is not this Bathsheba? Is not she married to Uriah the Hittite? Ain't this wrong? And the Bible says, listen, in verse 4, he ignored the way of escape. Why is that important? We're going to take time this morning to do it. If you don't know where it is, just stand there, just flip to a place and act like you know where it is. But listen, I want you to hold your finger in 2 Samuel. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you mark in your Bible, this is one you need to mark. This is one of the verses I have highlighted on my phone that I try to memorize. This is one of the verses I have highlighted in my hardback devotional book, Bible. Why? Because this is one of the verses, Christian, and I'm telling you, you may be sitting here this morning, you say, Bro Joey, my drugs are killing me. Meth is killing me. Oxycontin is killing me. Bud Light is destroying my life. Pornography is getting all over me. Brother Joey, what do I do? What do I do as a Christian? How do I overcome this? I want you to see 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to look down with me in verse number 13. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Look what the Bible says. Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But listen to me. That is not what David did. And that's not what some of us in this building are doing this morning. And this morning you're sitting there and you feel bad. You feel condemned. You feel like a failure. Look at me. I've been there. The Holy Spirit is trying to help you today. You say, Brother Joey, how does temptation get a hold of me? Would you look at what David did? First of all, you read this? He looked. He was on top of the roof. He was up there on top of the roof, and he looked down back in the garden behind Uriah's house, and he saw Bathsheba bathing herself. He saw it. Now, I want to say this morning. It is not a sin to see it. He saw it. There was nothing he could do. He didn't know she was going to be in the garden. The Bible does not say that he knew she would be in the backyard. He didn't know that, but he saw it. Now watch this. He looked at it. He looked at it. That's why Job tells us in the book of Job. Job said, hey, 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think upon a maid? Job was telling us, listen, there's going to be times when you see something. There's going to be times when you notice something. There's going to be times when the thought pops into your mind. But looking is not sinning. Looking is when it happens. But watch this. This is when David shut her mouth. He said, no, Brother Joey, listen to me. I'm a grace. Grace is the strongest power on earth for the Christian.
Amen.
Yes, it is. I'm just going to stand there and look and say, God, help me. God, help me. God, please help me. The Bible command for David is flee fornication. Get off the roof. Get out of the car. Hang up the phone. Delete your Facebook. I just made three people back tonight. The problem is we enjoy our sin so much, we really don't want God's help. Because if David really wanted to do what God wanted to do right here, when he saw Bathsheba, he would have got off the roof. But he didn't get off the roof. He looked. Listen to me. Then he lingered. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what I think, David. I think he was... You know what happened next? His sinful nature began to bring thoughts into his mind. You ready? Abigail shopping. Uriah's in war. Your servants will do what you tell them, and they'll keep it secret, because if they don't, they'll get killed, because you're the king. And what's David do? He looked. He leaned. He began to dwell on these thoughts. Now watch this. He gave way to what those thoughts was telling him. And you said, Brother Joey, it just happened. No, it didn't. Here's King David. This is a man after God's own heart. You read, you're taking notes, write Psalm 51 down. You read it when you get home. It is David's confession of how all that sin happened and what it did to him and how he lived after he committed that sin. David knew what was wrong. He knew what he was doing. And he began to follow the path that that temptation took in his life. And after he gave in to what he was laboring on, he lusted and he sinned. And he gave in to temptation. And you said, Brother Joey, this morning, how does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. I'll give you a practical demonstration. You still with me, say amen.
Amen.
We live in a town of 15,000, a county of 32,000. Say this morning that your number one struggle is not this lust of the flesh. Let's say it's something else. Say it's gossip. No, we do struggle with that. I struggle with it. Anybody else be honest? We all struggle with that. It's a lot easier to talk about what somebody's done wrong than what they're doing right. You know what I've learned? There's certain people that the devil brings into my life that feed the So before we point at our teenagers and say, pretty girls, you need to leave them ugly boys alone. Adults, we need to leave them ugly friends alone. We need to separate ourselves. Why? Because I'm not putting myself in that position. I'm not putting myself where I should not be. Why? Because I want to please the Lord. I'm tired of living defeated. I'm tired of living condemned. And I'm tired of yielding to temptation in my life. And you say, Rosemary, this morning, what about temptation in my life? I've got to be where I'm supposed to be. Yes, if you'll be where you are supposed to be, you will not be where you should not be. But then you've got to resist temptation. When it comes, when you look, you need to run. Whatever God tells you to do, that's what you need to do. A couple quotes and thoughts. Number one is this morning. Realize today that we are going to be tempted. Christian, I'm telling you, if you're sitting there and you think, and I'm not sure who the preacher's preaching to this morning, he's not preaching to me, you need to get saved today. So you can get in on this battle. We are going to be tempted. Number two, you ready for this? We are going to fail to temptation. Peter did. Going through him on Sunday nights the last couple weeks. Peter failed temptation. Watch this. But as a Christian, we need to learn from our failures. And we need to learn how to stay out of temptation in harm's way. And I want to say this morning. Jesus Christ is always available and there. This and I'm done. You're still with me, say amen. Won't you think just a moment? The Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, there were three young men. We don't know exactly how young these men were. We can only guess if people do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about it. They were living in a multitude of people who did not like their God. As a matter of fact, it got so bad that they went to the Supreme Court. Let me Americanize this. And they got a law passed that, hey, if you do this and this and this, you'll be going against the king and we're going to throw you in the fire. And so they got this thing out and they had this big parade day and they brought this statue out of the king and they said, hey, everybody here, when you hear the music start playing, the musicians get started, when you hear that, everybody bow down. And those three boys pretend. Don't you single yourself out. Don't you do, you just get in and do it. It's okay, God can see your heart. They said, we ain't doing that. We're not doing that. And they came to him and said, all right, that's your choice. So they played the music. Boom, he got started. And I don't know how they did it, but somehow they did something. And when the music played, watch this. The Bible says those three boys stood. They went and said, all right, that's your choice. You know the story. They tied them up. Took them to the furnace. You said, Brother Joey, I thought you said that God will always give a way of escape. They took them over there tied to the furnace, and the Bible says when they opened the door to throw them in, that those three Hebrew boys rolled over into the fire, and the people that were carrying them burned up so hot. But God protected his three people. But the other boys, they were like burnt marshmallows. Amen. You say, Brother Joey, but they didn't yield to temptation, but where's God? You ready? When they hit the ground, one of them's hand all of a sudden came around and looked around. Then three got up and said, man, how did that happen? And they looked over and they saw a fourth man. And the Bible says, the fourth man that looked like the Son of God. Amen. Jesus said, boy, you okay? I appreciate you standing for me. I appreciate you stepping up for me. And listen, I got this fire. Don't worry, you don't need cologne. You don't even smell like smoke. Amen. And they looked in and said, man, I see those three boys. I see one looking like the Son of God. And hey, listen to me. Because they stood for God and did not yield to temptation, a revival came to that nation.